Bibles, please, for our second reading to the prophecy of Hosea, chapter 9. Hosea chapter 9, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a-whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted, for their bread, for their soul shall not come into the house of the Lord. What will ye do in the solemn day, and in the day of the feast of the Lord? For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver. Nettles shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles. The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways and hatred in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame. And their abominations were according as they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth and from the womb and from the conception. Though they bring up their children, I will bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also unto them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them for the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God will cast them away, because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. A fitting carry on to chapter 8, another, as we said earlier today, another scorcher, another torture, where God would tell his people in the northern kingdom that he is coming for judgment's sake. Why? Because they turned away from him. Because they corrupted themselves. They first started by going to worshiping God in a way that was not good. They said they would continue to worship the true God in a way he had not commanded. Then from that, they went on to worshiping God the way they desired, and then from there, they went on to worshiping other gods as they desired. One step upon one step upon one step. We don't get up one day, brothers and sisters, and say, today I shall apostatize. It's not how it works. These things work along upon generations, upon years. And so we have several things that are said here. The first is that although they will continue offering, they will be offering the bread of mourners. Whereas offerings were meant to be times of solemn joy and acceptance with God, they will be as those who are in mourning instead. The worship of God ought not to be like a dirge, like mourning. It ought to be like rejoicing and solemnity, that kind of of solemn joy that we have when we appear before the Lord as those accepted of Him, as we heard in the sermon earlier today. But He says that their bread shall be the bread of mourners. They that eat thereof shall be polluted, for their bread for their soul shall not come into the house of the Lord. Next, He talks about them being carried away to Egypt and to Assyria. And here, I think that there may be some selling of those slaves on the part of the Assyrians over to the Egyptians, and they would be brought back into Egypt, at least some of them. But those days of visitation are come. Israel shall know it. Then notice, the prophet is a fool, the spiritual man is mad, for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. In other words, they've turned away from the true religion, and so that prophet of that false religion is a fool. That spiritual man, he's a madman instead. He's not truly spiritual. Then we have, the watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in his ways and hatred in the house of his God. Now, who is the watchman of Ephraim? That's a debated point among scholars. Perhaps one of the faithful prophets, right? Perhaps Elisha, perhaps Elijah, perhaps Hosea. Whoever it is, he is the watchman, but the rest of the prophets, they have corrupted themselves. They're like a fowler snare instead. They have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. Well, that ought to send a shiver down your spine when you remember Gibeah and the end of the book of Judges and the sins that were going on in Gibeah of those days. So that's what Hosea references here. Then notice, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe of the fig tree in her first time, but they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame. And so let's keep this in mind whenever we hear it, that we don't get to look at God and say, you're partially to blame for this. What does God say? When I looked at you, here's what I saw. I saw grapes. I saw figs. I saw pleasant things. But you took yourself to Baal Peor. And so when the Lord judges, when He punishes, we will not be able to look to Him to say, you know, Lord, you just didn't give me enough. You didn't give me enough knowledge. You didn't give me enough grace. You didn't give me enough time. You didn't give me enough this or that. Bertrand Russell has already had that discussion when he came face to face with his God, when he wrote the book, Why I Am Not a Christian. Someone asked him, and he records this in his book. He says, what will you do if you stand before God? And it's everything it says in the Bible. Well, I'll have to look at God at that point and say, you didn't give me enough information. Well, that conversation is had on behalf of Bertrand Russell. He's already passed into his eternal reward. We won't be able to say that in that day. There will be no one standing with us at judgment. We will stand there alone, and God will say, look at all the gifts I gave you. And what will we say if we are unbelievers? No, we must believe in Him now. We must receive those gifts He has given. We must understand the way He looks upon His people as grapes and figs, and we must crave His blessing upon us instead. The rest of the chapter is, well, it's hard to talk about, because what Hosea will remind the people of God of here, and we'll have to state this very briefly and close for time's sake in our prior reading. Here's what Hosea says. Do you think you're only hurting yourselves here? Because if that's what you think, you're sadly mistaken. And then three or four times from verse 11 to the end of the chapter 17, he mentions their children. This is a hard thing, but it is something that we must reckon with. The Bible brings it to us to reckon with. If you must, parents, if you must, think of your children with regard to your own faithfulness. Remember what we said earlier today? You've sown the wind and you've reaped the whirlwind. We think that little things, it's just a little thing. It's not going to make that much difference. It's just the wind, but it comes back to us as the whirlwind. When we make those little compromises and our children make those little compromises with us. That is sowing the wind, and it may just be reaping the whirlwind. And so the Lord, several times in this last section, speaks to them about their children. What will you do with regard to your seed? What do you think is happening with them in your departures from me? What are you training your children to do when you depart from me? And so on and so forth. And so this speaks of a very strong usefulness of family religion and being faithful in our homes. Being faithful in our homes and then letting that rise up to faithfulness in our churches and then rising up to faithfulness in that broader society, that we might be faithful with our children in every generation upon every generation, that the Lord would be pleased to raise up a faithful seed from our families. The compromises that we make, often we don't see those consequences, but the Lord does. And he warns them about us here at the end of Hosea chapter 9. With that then, let's stand and continue praising God.